It's a beautiful phrase coined in the writing of the King James Version, the salt of the earth. It begs the question, what exactly does that mean? Because scattering salt on the earth was a way to punish rebellious leaders and people by making their land infertile. So I don't suppose it means that. It could mean the salt, the sodium chloride, that is mined from some parts of the earth. Not entirely sure about that. I don't suppose it meant nitrogen and phosphates and that sort of fertilizer that we use today. But we do understand that salt has a preservative quality. And we do know that Roman soldiers were at least partly paid in salt, their salarium. What then about lights and bushels? I like the word bushel. I like all that sort of word. Gill, or is it Jill? I'm never quite sure. All the imperial measures that sound so poetical, but if you're doing sciences, they're incredibly hard to use. A bushel, by the way, is 8 gallons. So it doesn't really matter, but it's not very sensible to put your light under an 8-gallon jar. Well, I have something that perhaps bridges the divide there between salt and light. It's a Himalayan rock salt candle holder. I'll show it to the choir first. Don't want them to feel left out. Here we go. There's not much to see, is it, really? And for those listening at home, it's a pinkish, goldish, whitish lump of salty-looking crystal into which I'm about to drop a lighted tea light. We accidentally pressed the AD button on our remote control the other evening and couldn't work out why we kept hearing a voice saying, "He looks at some photographs out of an envelope." Who's saying this? It was the I can't remember what it's called now, but it was the person giving descriptions, audio descriptions, that's it. So audio description, he lights a tea light and drops it gently into the candle holder, followed by his finger, which is very foolish. I doubt that you might just see that flickering. I'll put it where it's safe. There are many virtues, if you believe the websites, to these rock salt candles. In our modern lives with electrical equipment that give out positive ions, which are very bad for us, these release negative ions to make the atmosphere much more healthy and pleasant. They are recommended by, see if I can pronounce this properly, bioenergotherapists. I don't think you get one of those on every high street. And homeopaths. So there it is. I'm doing you a great therapy by having this here, I think. Well, salt and light, salt preserving, we know that very well. Salt is a tremendous preservative. In the area of dried meats particularly. I worked for one farmer who had a side of bacon, very well salted, hanging up in his larder, and he had it there all winter and would carve a chunk off and either fry it or sometimes just eat it. I don't think you could do that with pork, really, could you? Or not very healthily, not with good results. But I thought perhaps it would help us to look at the opposites. The opposite of preserving with something like salt would be foul decay. Lovely words. I'm sure you've come across foul decay from time to time. Discovering the source of that unpleasant smell from the back of the fridge in a corner you hadn't found for a long time. I found it in a particularly graphic way when I was a butcher's boy. This is a bond I have with Arthur, that in my teens I was a butcher's boy. and one of my jobs was to make the sausages. And so after school one day in the summer, I went out into the back room to turn on the sausage machine and found that I hadn't emptied it out the Saturday before. But the flies had found it. So out came disgustingly stinky green gunge. And I won't tell you any more about it. There's worse I could say. Foul decay. I don't think Jesus was talking about meat preservation, was he? He was talking about our society and what keeps it healthy and what lets it rot. We have, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, a reminder of what God thinks makes our society rot. False pronouncements that really have no concern for his people. I will not say any specifics, but perhaps your imagination doesn't have to work too hard at the moment to put a name or two to those whose false pronouncements really have no genuine concern for their people. At the same time, we are given a list of those who are God's particular concern, the ordinary people, the workers, the poor, the hungry, the oppressed, all those who find life hard. God expects us to make their burden more light, to be kind and gentle with those who are vulnerable. This is how the good news of God's love, the gospel, preserves our society. Loving kindness. In Hebrew, chesed, which is always fun if you like going ch. If you really like going ch, learn Welsh. There's plenty of it there too. Light. Light is a bit of a two-edged sword, isn't it? In clear light, nothing is hidden. When we're honest with each other, it can be painful. But without light, things can become hidden and forgotten that ought to be dealt with. And God's searching light is a light of love. It opens up our hearts and minds to what we actually know to be true, to what we actually know to be good. And the opposite of that light in which nothing is hidden could be seen as insidious darkness and fear. That takes place in many forms. News items at the moment include an evangelical camp leader who thought it was a good plan to give severe beatings to the boys, even out of hours. The mind boggles. Not terribly Christian. I don't remember Jesus beating his disciples or anyone he encountered, although he did chase the traders out of the temple with a whip of cords. I'm sure he knew where to draw the line. But that insidious darkness is a place where untruths can grow and take over from what we all know to be true. It's the world of alternative facts, or otherwise known as demonstrable falsehoods. Demonstrably false, however vehemently anyone cares to assert them. We must not tolerate darkness and rot in our own lives, but we don't have to wage a war on it. We simply have to listen to God's word and receive his gospel of saving love, which does not just save for eternity, it saves us all here and now by goodness and graciousness and loving kindness, and by embracing God's truth, which is searching and sifts and gets rid of falsehood so that truth can be seen and acted upon and real results of God's kingdom can be seen. So truth and light, how we need them. But not just us. Those who really need them probably aren't here. They are out in the world that we seldom hear of, except glancing references, or perhaps news items that we've heard too many times and we're becoming a bit hardened to them. But people living in misery and fear, people living with prejudice and hatred. God's truth and light searches out all falsehood. God's salt of preservation and cleansing heals and maintains all for the good. So whether you rush out and buy one of these rock salt crystal lamps to cleanse your home, I could not offer an opinion. They're very pretty. But we all do need God's truth and light to lift us up out of the darkness and to prevent the rot that we will all fall into if we turn our backs on Him. Amen.